is reel one of three reels interviewing Mrs. Esther Hall in central Alaska in August of 1973. Mrs. Hall visits in central and Fairbanks each summer. She makes her home in winters in Sacramento, California, where one son and seven of his children live. Today is August 10th, I think, right?
Yes, it is. I was surprised when I thought about it.
Okay. So, this is Mike Dalton again. I always like to explain, and we'll edit these out later. But and I'm talking with Esther Hall.
Oliver Hall, I think.
Esther Oliver?
Yes, that was my name, Esther Oliver Hall.
Esther Oliver Hall. And we're in Central now, in whose home?
Mr. and Ms. Henry Choates.
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 Choates. And what's Mrs. Choates' first name?
Well, Dale. They call her Aunt Henry.
In Central. You've just known them for years. You used to.
Since we came to the Springs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and your late husband used to come to the Springs just on vacations or holidays?
No, we lived here 5 years. We lived in Hot Springs for 5 years in Cabin 11. After Dick's retired, we decided we wanted to come to the Hot Springs.
Oh, I see.
We used to camp in this part of the from the time our boys were little, and then after they were, Dick's and I loved this part of the country, so we'd come over. And we decided, Ken Carson had the springs, and we decided and rented them for $50 a month, the cabin. So we said, let's go over and spend a winter. Well, then, of course, John came back the next year, and he let us have the cabin, not for that, but nevertheless.
John Burdell?
Yes, we thoroughly enjoyed living over here.
I remember when Ken and his wife were over here, they were just married, I think.
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm. They were just married.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And who was telling me about Ken shooting a bear right outside the... Someone had been over here at that time. And he...
That's right.
A bear came right up to the kitchen door.
Absolutely. They used to come right up to... They used to tip the garbage cans over.
Yeah.
And always about 4 o'clock in the morning. And we had a beagle dog that had lived over there many years. Trix was an old dog, but it had been the hotel dog. And when we moved over, they adopted us. Trix adopted us. So... Oh, you know, the hackles would just rise on her back, and she had a special bark when there was a bear around.
Yeah, she could sense it.
Yeah, she could sense it. And then we'd get up and watch that bear. And the bear has come to the window and looked in. I know I had a casserole, and I suppose it smelled a casserole.
Yeah.
And they're so human in their movements and the things they do. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting. And John didn't never kill any. He used to shoot over them sometimes, and they'd run. But
John
Burdell.
John Burdell.
Yeah. And
your husband's name was John B.
But everybody called him Dixie.
Yeah.
Yes. So it is true the bears would come right to the door practically.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
But then your coming to Central then was, or to the Springs was after Dixie's
retirement. Yes, that's when.
And then you came. You lived here 5 years.
Yes,
or just in the winter.
Lived over in the cabin for 5 years there.
Oh, I see.
We only came for a year, but we liked it so well, stayed on.
So you just stayed year-round?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Lived over here.
So then if you went to Fairbanks, you flew in the winter?
Yeah, in the wintertime, we'd go fly with bush flies, which I enjoy very much.
I don't know what it is about Central, but the people who live here really... Well, it's a casual, old Alaskan friendliness,
is.
I think, that you
And
you
I
miss
think
in
they're beginning to feel like it's changing a great deal.
I
and it
so.
Is, too, Mike. There are new people, but you can't get away from that everywhere. It happens.
Eventually, the road will be open all year round, too, and that'll change
yes.
the complete complexion of the community.
Well, that's the way I feel about even about Fairbanks. The minute you put a road somewhere, you know, people decide to come in.
I was in Rampart recently, and the Taps Road goes to the Yukon now, and it's just, I don't know, maybe 30 miles upstream, but people will drive, get in their boats, and go down to Rampart, and it's quite an experience for someone who's never been in an isolated village, but it's going to make a difference in the village life eventually.
That's right. I visited a friend that taught to Agnes Saucer. You probably met Agnes Saucer. She's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She is an Elfin Cove, you know, and Chichikasaw, you know. And I visited her one time, and it was very interesting down there.
Cake I think it was Kay Kennedy suggested I talk to her and I get to Southeastern.
Well, do
I'm
that.
Not sure when I'm going to get down there.
Yes, well, she's a very interesting woman. She has taught. She told me when she was up, I've known her for 40 years, she has taught in 20 different place communities.
Is that right?
And she always taught in the small community. Yeah. She wouldn't mm-hmm. take a town job. Mm-hmm. I think she came into Skagway and taught, because she taught people like Mrs. Franich had the, at that age, you know. And so she's been in for many, many years.
Yes, yeah. And someone else had suggested her, too, as, can't remember who. But anyway, to get back to you, you were born Esther Oliver.
Yes, I was.
Where were you born?
Douglas, Alaska.
Douglas, Alaska.
1899.
And what is the day of your birth?
The August month? The 31st. End of this month, I'll be 74.
And you were born in Douglas.
Born in Douglas.
So you're a real homegrown Alaskan.
I am. And there aren't too many of us left at my age, you know, either. But
did you live in Douglas then when you were
Yes,
young
I grew up in Douglas and I stayed there. We'd go in and out. My father had come from Tacoma and we'd go in and out. And then when I went to high school, well, then I went out to school. Because
outside.
Our school had become accredited by the time I was in high school, so I went 4 years to Douglas High School. Graduated in 1916.
I see. Are there any of your classmates who live in interior Alaska? No.
I don't know of any of them really that are left. And there were just such a few of us. There were just two graduates from high school.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. So one of us was valedictorian, the other was salutatorian. There was no question.
Did you toss a coin for that? Well, when your parents then lived in Douglas, what
they came
what
to Sitka
your...
in the very early years. They mm-hmm. came. My father went to work for W.P. Mills, who had a big store. Mm-hmm. And he had a sawmill. My father ran the sawmill.
In Sitka.
Yeah, and my mother came and married him at Sitka, and they were married by Bishop Rowe.
And your father's first name was?
Frank.
Frank Oliver.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Frank Oliver.
And Bishop Rowe married them, was that in Sitka or in?
In Sitka.
In Sitka.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Bishop Rowe.
And I never have seen Sitka. Someday I'm going to go down there and take that trip through
to
and
Sitka?
Say. And they say it's such a beautiful place.
When you, do you spend the winters outside now?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
Do you fly out or do you go
I usually fly out, mm-hmm. yes. But someday I'm going to do otherwise.
But it wouldn't be too difficult for you to, you know, to when you fly out to buy your ticket to stop over in Juneau and then just take the ferry to
That's
Sitka.
Right. That's right.
Because the ferry system has made a terrific difference in Southeastern.
I know.
You can get on the ferry as a walk-on passenger.
Yes.
Or you can get a room if you want.
Yes, uh-huh.
And there are a lot of, I know I've been on the ferry once or twice when maybe the basketball team from Haines is going to Sitka to play and the other students go with them. It's really wonderful.
Well, they say it's made such a wonderful difference down there because there was no way of people going back and forth that way.
Unless they flew.
And
that got pretty costly and a little hazardous
and
at times.
I would say so too in that climate down there. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty bad sometimes, weather-wise.
So. I know we were one time in Dixon's Juneau, we were going to go to Sitka, and it was such a stormy day that they didn't leave, and then we just never did get
You'd enjoy that.
Uh-huh, I love it, because it all has meaning to me, you know, and we grew up with pictures of the church and things that my mother had collected and interesting things. And I remember I pass it on to one of my daughters-in-law now, but it was that they used to make these lovely things out of silver coins, you know. And this was a server. I always remember mother served sliced tomatoes. It was a flat thing, you know, and you could pick them up off the plate. And it's just a beautiful thing. I don't know if they still do that, the native people still do that or not.
I don't think I've seen what you're talking
about.
Just
beautiful. Well, it's just a lovely thing. It's carved. I think it has... I suppose it was a fish server, really, because it had fish on it, you know, but it was just a flat, like a spoon, but flat, and you could serve with it. And I always treasure that, so when I was distributing my things, I gave it to my Suzanne, because she likes the old things.
Yeah.
You know? Mother had lovely baskets. I'm not ever quite sure what happened to them after she left, but she had beautiful baskets from there. They made lovely things.
From Sitka area.
Sitka, from in the early, early years.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did your... you were born in Douglas,
yes.
Then, so
well,
your
then
father
my mother and father had moved over, and my father then went to work at Treadwell.
At the Treadwell mine.
He never worked in the mines. He worked in the mills, and then in later years, he was the foreman at the cyanide plant. They introduced a new method of taking the gold, and it was the cyanide. And that's where he worked for many, many years.
Did he continue living in Douglas, or
no,
did you know?
Then after the mine, see, then the mine, flooded, and there was no more, and it all happened very fast. And then after a number of years, my mother and father moved to Seattle, and that's where they died. Both of them died in Seattle.
I see. Then, so you grew up, all of your childhood was spent in Douglas, and was the bridge across the Gastineau Channel?
No, and that's something I often think of. That bridge was as far away as we used to talk about space. You know, that was just something in the... Well, we talked about how wonderful it would be, and people said, oh, someday there'll be a bridge. But, you know, that was just as distant then as we used to think of the space program,
yes.
You know. And I was so pleased to see it the first time we went back.
Do you know when that bridge was built?
Beg pardon?
Do you know when that bridge was built?
I don't recall when it was built, no.
But it's been there some time.
Well, I guess it has, Mike, but I just don't remember the year.
In fact, I've heard some talk about widening it or building another to replace
it. It seems that when we were there, they were going to do something with it because the salt water rusts out the steel, you know, and they have to watch it very carefully. But, of course, Douglas has changed. We had our own business district, you know, which burned so many times, and... I notice now that it's mostly residential for Juneau.
Yes,
not
quite
too many
a lot.
Business
mm-hmm.
places.
Quite
there.
A lot.
And about the only one I knew was Mamie, what's her husband, Mark? But she was Mamie Fusey, and her father had a hardware store on right, you know, on the over the piling on the beach there.
Well, you say when you graduated from high school, there was only one other graduate. Who was that?
Well, her name was Ruby Johnson. And then after the mine closed, her family moved to South Dakota to the big Homestake mine. Her father had been a miner at Treadwell. And then she married a man who worked in the mine. And I think she taught school for a while back there. And she now lives in... the first part of it is Fish, and they have their home there, have a ranch out of there, but they spend their, I had a card from her from Yuma, Arizona this last year, and she said they had now spend their winters there, but her name was Ruby Johnson.
Then when you graduated from high school, did you go on to college?
I went on to normal school. I knew I wanted to be a teacher. In those years,
I went
to normal school. I always thought we used to even think it was a strange name in those early years, you know. So I went to Bellingham. And at that time, you went 2 years. Afterward, they went on. And I had a couple of summers at the University of Washington. And that's what I was going to do, complete college. But I met Dixie Hall, and that completed that. So,
but you went to, what did they call it, the Bellingham Normal School?
Bellingham Normal School.
And you went there 2 years?
Yes, from 19, I graduated in 16, and then I went 2 years, yes, there.
Okay.
And then I had my teaching certificate and came back, and that's when I went to Perseverance.
And then Perseverance is near Juneau, so would
you
just
describe... It's right back. It's up that, you go way up to the top of the hill... And go
the mountain,
out. Yeah, the mountain. Yes, that's where you go. I noticed I walked up there when we were down there, but the road was closed because of snowslides. It said so. I couldn't go any further, you know. But that's where we used to go.
But Perseverance was way back.
Way back. Oh, I would say probably close to 10 miles back in there, you know.
Well, then you taught there, and after you graduated from
normal school.
Did you live right at Perseverance?
I stayed there.
There was a community.
There was a community and just a very little schoolhouse, you know.
Well, today, if the mine at Perseverance was operating, they'd probably have a road, or you'd travel back and forth by helicopter.
Well,
tell me how you got back to Perseverance.
Well, when in the fall time then, from Juneau, there used to be what they called a jitney. It was just a car, you know, with flaps, those. This man ran it up there because, you see, the miners used to come into Juneau. Well, then, of course, after the in the wintertime came, they couldn't run that. Then it closed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I used to have to go up the tramways and go down to the bottom of the mine and go out that way, you see, because the road was closed in the wintertime.
Well, tell me, describe again to me how you would go from in the wintertime when the road was closed.
The town, the houses were all on the bottom of the valley,
mm-hmm.
and you went. Then you rang a bell, and there was a man up there who would answer you, and you got on this little flat car, and it was all run by cable, you know, mm-hmm. an engine, and he would start the motor, and it would pull that little car up that tramway to the entrance of the mine, and then I would have to go into the mine. Walk in and get a cage, you know, it was just like an elevator, and mm-hmm. go down to the very bottom
down
level.
Down a shaft.
Down the shaft, you know. And I remember sometimes they would be blasting in some area and the concussion would frighten me. I really wasn't very brave about it, but it was the only way I could get home. And then when you got down there, there would be a little steel car made of steel. Just a very little thing.
An ore car, or just
This was a little covered car. It was all
for
covered in steel for passengers. It had two seats, one mm-hmm. on each side, and then you would go with the ore train. The ore cars would go ahead and pull you.
I see.
The engine, and that was for I can't remember how many miles to those mountains that tunnel had been built.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got off at the end, you came out of the entrance of the tunnel. Then you went down this long tramway down the hill to the dock to take the lone fisherman to Douglas.
So you came down on the Juneau side?
Yeah, on the Juneau side.
Oh, uh-huh. And then the lone fisherman was...
I don't know, you've probably been to Thane, haven't you? Have you driven down to Thane?
Is it...
There's no mill or anything there anymore.
Is it right near the city of Juneau? It's
down the channel. And there's a road, because we drove down there.
I don't think I've...
Well, someday just go down there.
And
there
I will.
It is,
I just,
yes.
I'm
uh-huh.
not aware of it.
Of course, there's no sign of anything like the tramway or anything anymore. The mill's gone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the milling was done for the Perseverance mine.
Mm-hmm. Then you take the lone fisherman, which was a small boat.
A small boat, and you'd go across.
And was that... kind of a ferry boat that operated between Juneau and Douglas.
And Juneau and Douglas. And that's the way we got back and forth to Juneau and Douglas mm-hmm. in those early, yes.
Well, at that time, that must have been about 1920 or 21.
It was, I would say 1918 and 19, mm-hmm. I was at Perseverance.
Was Douglas about the same size as Juneau in that... at that time?
With the combination of the two, there might have been more people. You know, Treadwell was a wonderful mine. I don't mean the mine, but they provided every facility for their men. And I always think of my own dad, you know, he was used to living there if we'd go out and spend a winter out, you know, and come in. And they had, they had a library, they had a billiard room, they had bowling, they had everything. And of course it was interesting to us because they always see many of the students from the University of Washington came there to get their experience.
I see.
So they'd have wonderful basketball teams and baseball mm-hmm. teams. And
I've gotten this impression from a couple of other people, including Simon Sobolev here in Central, whom I talked to last week, and he worked there for 1 year.
He did.
And when in 1930, I think, he graduated from the University of, Oregon. I'm not sure right now the name of the school. But he described the bunkhouse.
Yes.
And it really wasn't a bunkhouse. They had two men to a room and the washing facilities, bath facilities,
absolutely.
Recreation.
Very well taken.
And, of course, the library. He's a student.
I know he is a
perpetual student.
I
just
imagine.
A very,
it's wonderful.
Very interesting man.
Yes, he is.
So, the Treadwell has done good things for a lot of Alaskans,
yes.
though it did.
It has, you know, that's right. And the town of Douglas was interesting, too, because there were many nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
And each one sort of had their own little section of the town.
Is that right?
I often think of that. Uh-huh. I didn't think of it when I was growing up, but it was true.
There were foreigners?
There were many Southern European men worked mm-hmm. in the mine. Many Finnish people. That was quite a community, the Finnish community.
Mm-hmm.
and the Scotch people, mm-hmm. just every, and they were all
kind of... Mr. Sobolev told me that there were some Russians there, too,
when he was there. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, well, the Perseverance then was that the name of the mine or
yes,
the community?
Yes, it was, the Perseverance Mine, mm-hmm. and it was English capital, as I say, and after World War One, I suppose they just closed it down, that was all.
Mm-hmm. And that was the gold mine also.
Yes, and it never did reopen.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So.
Then you taught there 2 seasons or 2 years?
Just 1 year.
1 year.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, too, this morning about that. It's strange. We used the Nevada State course of study. Now, I don't know whether Mr. Henderson was from there, and that's why he chose it. But always, mm-hmm. I always wondered about that, how he happened to choose the Nevada.
But Mr. Henderson was the commissioner?
He was the first commissioner of education.
Education.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. He was.
And who was the governor at that time?
You know, I can't remember. I've tried to think. All I can think of is Troy, and I'm sure it was after Governor Troy's, or before Governor Troy's time.
I think I can look that up.
Yes,
I'm just interested because
Governor
Park was the governor in 1930 when Mr. Sobolev told me.
Oh, he was. Uh-huh. George Park.
And, of course, he was... refugee from Russia, Mr. Sobolev.
Yes.
And I asked him if he'd ever gone to the governor's mansion. Uh-huh. He said one time when the Russian Orthodox bishop was there, there was an occasion.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And he was very pleased to be invited.
Well, of course he was.
So. Then you taught there 1 year, and then did you go back to Douglas? Or?
Well, I spent the summer, and then I went up to the Eska coal mines out of Anchorage.
Eska coal mines?
Yes, mm-hmm. Eska coal mines. And it was at that time, it was an underground mine. I understand now it's all open cut. And I went into Anchorage in 1919.
Anchorage was just a little town
and
at that
Anchorage
time,
was
right?
A very little town. It was. And
describe it to me. You must have gone...
Well, we had to lighter. We were lightered in. We went in by boat.
You went in the Cook Inlet.
And we're lightered in to the dock, you see. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about the Anchorage Hotel, the first Anchorage Hotel, and I remember it was very simple. In your room, you had a little closet like Dell has here with a curtain on it, you know. Just that.
A bed and a closet and maybe one chair.
Was just about it, you know. And I stayed there for a few days, and then I went out to the Eska coal mine, and they had the miners there had built the schoolhouse. It was a very nice schoolhouse. They had all contributed and helped with the building of it, so they were having a big opening, and I remember an orchestra went out from Anchorage, and it was a big time. And I'll just put this little personal thing that doesn't need to be put. It was always we all used to chuckle about it. The wife of the superintendent met me down at the train. Oh, and then when you went out the train at that time, you went as far as Sutton on the main line train. Then the engine switched and pulled you up the hill on a little flat car. It was a steep grade, so they didn't pull the whole train up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just stopped there along the way, you know. And Mrs. Smith met me. Sumner Smith was the mining engineer in charge of the mine. So she took me to her home, and they were preparing for this party,
mm-hmm.
and there was a young man out on the porch turning the ice cream freezer, and it turned out to be Dixie Hall.
Oh.
And so when he went back to the bunkhouse, the men said, "Well, how's the new school marm? What does she look like?" "She's the biggest woman I ever saw in my life."
Oh.
I was tall, and Cylinder, and Dix wasn't that tall. And we always laughed. I said, "Well, I got you anyway."
That's what Dixie went back to the bunkhouse and said.
Yeah, and told the man back there. He told me that. They chuckled about that afterwards. But it was a very nice community to teach in.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith was a very... good person at the head of it, and I think it's the first place, a little tiny place, where there was no gossip allowed. He used to tell the men, "You can bring your wives, but we just don't tolerate anything." And so it was a very nice community, and everybody joined together, and we'd have community dances. And it was
a nice way to start out, I would think. That
it
way
was.
You would be conscious of
lovely.
Whatever you said, you would say something that was positive or.
That's
or,
right. It was. It was just
complimentary.
One of the nicest places, you know, that you could be. And the people were so nice. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, of course, and then after, I taught there 2 years. And Dix and I were engaged. And So I went out for the summer. Then Mr. Smith was transferred up to Chickaloon. And I don't know if you ever heard it, know anything about Chickaloon or not.
Yeah, I've heard.
They built, I would presume, 15 or 20 new homes up the hill. You walked up, I think it was 80 some odd steps to get up there. And the homes were on top of the hill, and they were modern, very nice. And on the flat, they had a big hospital, a big community hall for the miners, just a good camp, you know, and they had a doctor and a nurse there, so it was very complete. But that was put in by the Navy. The Navy were testing that Chickaloon coal to be used in battleships.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up there. Then everybody really from the community moved up with Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught there 1 year, and then we were married in 1922 in Anchorage.
Chickaloon.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, the reason I wonder about
there 1 year.
How many people knew about it. Years later, I saw this article and about some man finding fire hydrants up there, you
mm-hmm.
see, and he couldn't understand, and that's what, you know, where they came from. It was quite a complete town.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it had all been done with government money.
And how long did they do development work there at Chickaloon?
I think it closed, let me see, that was in 22. I think they worked one more year after we were there, and then that Navy discontinued it.
Then you and Dixie Hall were married then in 1922?
Yes, in 1922,
in
Anchorage.
Let's get back to Anchorage just for
all
a minute.
Right.
When you were lightered in, and they had the Anchorage Hotel. Is that where the Anchorage Hotel still?
I think it must be in about the same location.
Where the Anchorage Westward is, no.
I would think so,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
But were there other buildings that in 1919?
Oh, yes, there were. There was another hotel where all the miners stayed down the street. And then Cap Lathrop had started building his new building there.
Well, his was not a hotel, though.
No. His was just a building that was mm-hmm. used for business. And the old Frisco Cafe was there. That was one place that was just famous, you know. Everybody went to the Frisco Cafe to eat.
Like the old model in
Paris. Yeah, just the same idea. Uh-huh. And it had that one little narrow street. And it was dirt, just dirt roads, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I know I had some friends that lived on about 6, and that was quite far out.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was very small.
And by 1919, were there still, it wasn't a tent city still?
No, it was not a tent city.
There were homes that were.
Yes, there were homes.
Constructed.
People had started their homes and were living there, you know, so.
Sylvia Ringsted went there. Her first recollection
That's
of
right.
Anchorage was a tent city. I think it was 1916.
Dixie went in 1915, and he
Is
said it
right?
was a tent city.
Yeah.
And he said most of them, the Singleman, lived on the flats, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they had surveyed it already, though. They surveyed the town and laid it out before a building was put on it.
Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why the streets are so nice and wide and straight.
I suspected that was the case.
Yes,
because.
Uh-huh.
If it was a railroad community.
Yes, it was. And Colonel Mears was the head of the railroad. And I think it was under the Department of Interior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they ran it. The Department of Interior ran the railroad at that time. And maybe still, I don't
know. No, it was Department of Interior. I think it was, I'm not certain on
this.
But I know it's under the Department of Transportation
just
until maybe 6 years ago,
yes.
when the Department of Transportation was organized.
Yes, uh-huh.
It was switched from Interior.
Uh-huh. And as I said, Colonel Mears was the man in charge
mm-hmm.
of the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Donald McDonald. He used to come up to the mines, and he always talked single tax.
You were at the Regent's reception at Golden Days, weren't you? In Fairbanks?
No, I wasn't.
Oh. They had several garments there that were made by Donald McDonald's wife for their daughter, Flora.
Is that
who's now
right?
Flora Siebold there in Fairbanks. And
oh.
One was a little girl's dress for about a 6 or 7 year old. It was modeled by, I think, maybe her granddaughter. I'm not certain. And then a dress that was made for her, little
Isn't that
handmade, beautifully
yes,
done
yes.
by Mrs. McDonald. But Donald McDonald was he worked for the railroad at that
time.
Yes,
he did. He was a surveyor, an engineer for the mm-hmm. railroad, a surveyor, not a railway engineer, you
mm-hmm.
know. But.
July 15th of this year, I went to Nenana when they had the 50th anniversary.
I was sorry not to go, Mike. We were there for that 50th.
Were you?
Yes, we were. We were there when the Harding came in.
Oh.
And
were you still outside? Were you in Alaska?
No, we were in Alaska. I had married Dix, and we had been sent over to Anchorage.
No, I mean this summer.
Oh,
were you here?
This summer. Yes, I was, but I had just come, and I didn't know really anything about it until I read it, and I felt so badly because I would love to have been there.
So you were there when President Harding was there?
Oh, yes, and Herbert Hoover and his wife came, and they had a big reception for them, you know.
And Herbert Hoover was secretary of...
I was trying to think what he was.
I have it in my notes.
Yes, well, he... they had quite a part. They had, of course, the people that protect him along, you know.
And Secret Service.
Secret Service mm-hmm. were along. And I always wondered what they thought. And this Cap Jones, who was a famous road builder and who was stationed in Indiana at the time, in fact, Dix was his clerk, organized a band. So anyone who'd ever played an instrument, you know, came. And I always wonder what President Harding must have thought. It really...
A band at Nenana? Yeah, it was organized at Nenana?
Yeah, at Nenana. And these old fellas, you know, who hadn't played an instrument for years. And you can imagine, Mike, what it really... Dix used to... For years, we'd just laugh and laugh about that band that Kay played. In fact, Cap sort of organized it. And I guess he just almost was hysterical before the thing was over. Yeah. Because it really was... Well, it just was funny. That was all. And all these old fellas tooting on their horns.
I hadn't heard that part of it.
Yes, he did. They had a band to greet him. And then they had a reception, and we all dressed up in our best bib and tucker and went to the reception and met the Hardings and met the Hoovers.
Was that in Nenana?
In Nenana, yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, Nenana was a pretty big town.
Well, it was. It was a very nice town. You see, that we went over. Well, in fact, we were married, and then I went back and finished a month at school, and Dixie went on a new job over there, this job of and kept time on the big bridge that was being built and worked for Cap Jones. And so it was a very busy and a nice town, lots of social life. And you see, I know my children used to...